I feel like now that I know what this song is about, I know less of what this song is about. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyper-analyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
With us, we have a new guest to Decomposition, which is always a lot of fun to have. Stand-up comedian, co-host of the podcast Verbal Shenanigans, Mr. Scott Brennan. Scott, thank you very
much.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Thank you for coming out to do this with us. We really appreciate it.
This is career changing, right?
Yeah, no, I think dream come true would accurately describe.
I mean, surely. I am next to the pot that Brad podcasts in front of. This is
yeah, man.
This is it.
Saute pans everywhere.
Well, I mean, Brad is also a cook.
That's
so
true.
Being next to his pots and pans is a pretty big deal.
Well, exactly.
Well, I already had plans to smuggle one out and have it in my memorabilia.
Take that one. That's the most expensive
my memorabilia
right there.
Room.
So, Scott, you are one of the co-hosts of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
I am.
You do a lot of interviews. You've done a lot of interviews. Like, since we met, I went back and listened to some of the ones that you've put up there, and I love the guests that you're getting. You got Josh Eppard of Three. Personal favorite, excuse me, I say of Three, but really of Coheed.
I was going to say, of Three.
I'm a huge Three fan, and so
Three
it's
is
like,
cool. Three is
But I also, Lenny Dykstra, who is just insane, absolutely insane, in a wonderful way.
Yeah, the Lenny Dykstra episode is just a journey. It's just a journey that you just go on and you just let him speak.
It's almost like what dreams may come. It's just so bizarre and surreal listening to Lenny
Dykstra.
Yeah, like
the meth version of...
I obviously need to listen to that one. Like, we listened to Joey Eppard, I Love Three, and Coheed and Cambria, but...
Josh Eppard.
And Travis.
Josh Eppard. Joey Eppard. Right. Oh boy, I'm just saying the wrong name.
Sorry,
names.
We're fanboys when it comes to that stuff.
But I'm not a baseball person, so I didn't get into the other one. Well, Brad just listened to it without me, but now
the podcast is great for like having a show based around so many different types of guests is great, and also like, it's like a double edged sword because there's no like exact niche. It's not like, hey, this is a music podcast. It's like, well, today we have Josh Eppard and Travis Stever. Next week we have a hippo attack survivor.
That sounds awesome. Though.
It is fun because we're like 160 something episodes in, so it does keep it fun. Because
that's
every
great.
Every week
that's
it's
awesome.
Different, but it's also the work never stops.
The other one that I was a particularly big fan of, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he was the former neo-Nazi.
Oh.
Who was
appropriate this week. I almost reposted it.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. Like, you should go for it.
Christian Picciolini, his name.
Yeah.
He was a reformed skinhead.
Yeah. That was thoroughly interesting. Of course, that one has absolutely nothing to do with what we are discussing today.
No, but it has to do with Scott. So.
It does. I know.
Well, not the neo-Nazi part.
No. I mean, no, talking about your podcast, obviously.
Scott's old school.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, so today... segue.
Oh,
so I'm going to just segue awkwardly. How does that sound?
Fine.
All right. So today we are going to discuss the 1990 hit by founders of the new metal revolution.
Wait, pause. What year?
1998.
I thought you said 1990.
I may have.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. Who cares? Does anybody really care?
No.
What year this came out? It is off of the 5x platinum
gross
selling album, Follow the Leader. Korn's Got the Life.
I'm so upset that it went platinum 5x.
Yeah, seriously? That's how huge nu metal was.
It's disgusting.
This reached number 15 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Tracks, number 17 on Billboard Modern Rock Tracks, Follow the Leader hit number 1 on the Billboard 200, And this is the first video to ever be officially retired from TRL.
Oh my gosh. Really? That video's awful.
They get retired?
Yeah.
Like a jersey?
It's basically, like, I'm sure somewhere in Times Square at MTV Studios, they just have Jonathan Davis's bright green mink coat hanging up.
Cornball hanging.
Just those weird white dreadlocks just dangling from the ceilings. But yeah, it got to the point where, like, this song got... It was on TRL so much that they had to retire it. It never went to number one on TRL, is the other funny thing.
I think Carson Daly just got sick of it.
As did I.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for years. Carson Daly and I have so much in common.
Right.
But yeah, it just basically... It peaked at number two, but got stuck at number three after that for so long that they affectionately referred to number three as the corn spot. So.
You never want to be stuck in the corn spot.
Absolutely not.
That never sounds like a good thing.
It sounds awful.
But I guess if that's your thing, that's your thing. Though.
I guess so.
So yeah, do we want to read the chorus to this?
What is the chorus?
Okay, so.
Because I feel like there's some different versions.
I looked up multiple versions of these lyrics to just kind of side by side compare and contrast. I want to read both sets.
Okay.
If that's
first
all right.
Edition, second. Yeah,
exactly, like the rewrites. Because this song was written by all of the members of Korn, all five of them.
This really speaks to their heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seriously, way to go, band.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God damn it. How does... Okay. Ugh. I'm, like, grossed out reading the lyrics. All right. I'm going to give this a shot.
Your corn spot. Come on.
This is the corn spot. Woo! I'm going to use that in, like, just the everyday vocab.
That's fine.
It's yours.
You can't do it.
I can't undo it is the other problem. God thinks we will never see the light. Who wants to see? God told me... I've already got the life. Oh, I see. God thinks we will never see the light. Who wants to see? God told me I've already got the life. Oh, I say.
All right.
And should I read the other one? Okay, so here's the problem with the Google Play lyrics, is that it never actually... Like, the song is called Got the Life.
Right.
And the Google Play lyrics never actually use the phrase Got the Life. Instead, they bastardize them, if that can be appropriately used.
Yeah.
Funny. The song is called Got the Life, and I'm really bad with lyrics of any song, and that's the only lyric I could pick out of the whole song.
Right.
Got the Life, over and over again.
Yeah.
And when you're reading it, I'm waiting for that part, and I don't hear it.
I could get that or, like, the Jonathan Davis... gibberish that happens later in the song. That's another lyric.
That's my favorite part. We'll talk about it later.
But the Google Play music lyrics are, God begs me, the more I see the light, who wants to see? God told me I've already got the light, oh I say. God begs me, the more I see the light, who wants to see? God told me I've already got the light. Oh, I say.
The way you read that is like you were saying the homily.
Well, he does, you know, he mentions God an awful lot, and so I felt appropriate.
He's very spiritual, I guess.
He is very spiritual. In fact, the guitar player, Head, quit the band when he became a born-again Christian.
Oh. I would have thought, based on this, you could be a born-again Christian in the band.
Jonathan Davis sports, like, a massive crucifix in this video also.
I wish I had noticed
that. I think that's a stylistic choice that he's making. So no use, like some idiot at Google was typing this out and just, like, never said, like, maybe the phrase got the life is in the song Got the Life.
Maybe nobody at Google types them out. Maybe they just use, like, the Google voice.
It's voice to text. Yeah, that's what Donald suggested when he was over
because
a couple weeks ago.
Because the lyrics are always so wrong.
Or yeah.
Maybe it doesn't say got the life. Maybe we are hearing it wrong.
Are we the idiots?
Maybe that is the genius of the song.
Of corn. That's the corn spot.
Forgive the corn spot is that it says got the light, even though the song's called Got the Life. I really don't think so, though.
So now that you've figured that out, Katie, do you have any idea what this chorus is saying?
I'm going to think about it.
As an English teacher, as a master of literary theory.
There's so much pressure. Mm. No, honestly, I think the phrase "got the life" is like the famous life. And they're still kind of looking for and searching for some kind of satisfaction, but they don't find it. Like, the rest of the song, when we get into it, shows, like, how unhappy they are.
I kind of agree with you there.
Okay.
I kind of agree, especially with their video. I guess they're portraying that they're
right.
so popular and so you know, ironically big, but then at the end, they're with their boys, and that's where they're happy. You
right.
know? Like, everyone thinks they got the life, but or that's the glitz and glam.
Are they fake happy at the end? I thought maybe they, like, are all so miserable, and then they get to this big party, and they have to put on their, like, fake happy face for show. I don't know. It could go either way.
Well, I'll tell you what. Your initial instinct was correct. That's what this song was written about, was, like, we are Korn. Mm-hmm. Do we want this kind of fame?
Right.
You know, for years they had subsisted as kind of like an underground metal band before this album, Follow the Leader, came out.
Mm-hmm.
But they were already pretty popular.
I remember them being on like 120 minutes in the middle of the night.
Yeah, absolutely. When their first two albums, self-titled Korn and then their follow-up Life is Peachy, came out,
nope.
they had like a good-sized following and were able to make a living as musicians.
Oh, yeah. Those two albums are big. Like,
yeah,
amongst,
absolutely.
Like, our age kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
those are big.
Sure.
Absolutely. Adidas. And,
Adidas was a big one. Twist was a weird. That was just a bunch of weird noises.
With the bagpipes. Their first one.
They did Clown. Clown was a big one that they did. Another one, which is an F word that I won't use on the podcast. Derogatory
term. Oh, I know
term.
Which one you mean. It's not the regular F word.
No. But yeah, no, they had a following. And so going into this album, they basically like wrote this song about like, do we want this kind of attention?
Right.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes, they absolutely. More importantly, like Fred Durst wanted that attention.
Yep, yep.
Big and time. Eminem cameos in the video.
So Eminem cameos in the video, but it was like well before he was famous. This was when he was just some rapper in Detroit who had not yet.
Well, this is 98. When did Eminem get
99
famous?
99 was when
well
My Name
before,
Is came out.
Like slightly before.
I mean, it feels like
forever.
Eons ago. Fred, it feels like just
Fred
yesterday.
And so. It's got to be great.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy from Orgy, who I'm assuming is still alive.
I can't believe you picked him out.
That was, thank you, Wikipedia, for pointing out the cameos in this. And also somebody from the rap group Far Side. You all right?
Yeah. you just when you say Far Side, it's only
it's not Gary Larson
away from ICP. It's just so close to Juggalo territory.
Sure, absolutely. I think there's a lot of cross-pollination there.
This whole era gives me the chills. I just think Jenkos and like UFO pants and a lot of eyebrow rings.
It's awful. He had 3 eyebrow rings in the video.
Well, you gotta throw it out there.
Right.
One is not powerful enough.
If now that you've got the life, you don't want the life, maybe like don't parade around in a giant green coat.
Maybe
like,
buy a polo
around.
Shirt.
True fact, he got an eyebrow ring for
Ferrari.
Each album they put out.
Yeah.
True fact.
Now he has 11 eyebrow rings. Yes.
Do they have 11 albums?
I don't know.
I really hope not.
I know they're still around. They're still touring. So that's
I think they had like a 12-year-old playing guitar with them recently.
A 12-year-old. It's like Van Halen, the way they just kind of like absorb the children of the band to come in and form the new band.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw this on a Facebook feed. It is the son of the bass player of Metallica. Playing with Korn right now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want your son to play with a better band?
Yeah, but if he's just starting out.
That's true. This, like, he could, you know, cut his teeth here,
exactly.
I guess.
You have to understand the bass parts in Korn.
I was going to get to that.
Well, I was going to say, you're as a bass player, Scott,
yeah.
Which is something that I did not introduce you as, but it should be known that Scott is also a bass player. Yeah. It sounds like he doesn't use notes. He's just letting the strings rattle.
Not only that, he's lowering those strings so much that they are just hanging off
the guitar. It's like a drop C tuning.
Yeah, and he's basically just playing the rhythm, like just playing beats on the bass. I believe his name was Fieldy, correct?
Fieldy, that is correct.
He used to drive me crazy. Like, just listening to that, be like, I remember kids in school being like, oh man, he's sick. I'm like, he is the worst bass player in this era right now.
He's got good rhythm, but he does a drummer
playing bass.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically playing on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he said he was inspired by, like, hip-hop scratching. But then think about, like, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Yep.
Who played guitar in that same way, like a DJ would
scratch. Yeah.
And that is like the way I think the way Tom Morello does it is like a revolutionary, like new take on a way to play electric guitar. And it is fascinating to listen to. Fieldy, on the other hand, is just some douchebag.
Yes.
Like if I were to sum it up,
if you play concerts in football jerseys, it's just,
yeah. And shorts.
You're already, yeah, it's over. Baggy it's shorts. Over. You're, it's over before it starts. And listen, Tom Morello plays like that, but he plays like that on top of an enormous amount of talent.
Right.
Fieldy plays like that on top of absolutely no talent.
So I take it back in high school when this band was out, you were not a fan?
Okay. Well.
Or is this a secret twist?
This is why I got like, when you said Korn, I'm like, oh God. I remember buying this album or getting it for Christmas or compact disc. What was the thing that sent you to the 10th?
The Columbia House.
Yeah. Like that.
In some way, shape, or form, what you're saying is that you've lined the pockets of Fieldy.
I have lined Fieldy's long pockets.
Yeah. You got like 9 of them, too. Those are cargo pants.
You can never have enough pockets in the 90s. But I was thinking on the way here. I didn't even think of this until I was like texting you guys in traffic. But when I was this age, we were into wrestling, like many of the kids were.
Sure.
And this was like the heyday of like when Raw was back.
Oh, yeah. This was like Austin 316. 100%.
So we were probably 8th grade, 9th grade, probably 7th, 8th, 9th, somewhere around there. And we were very into backyard wrestling. And we would have events that we recorded on like video cameras. And sure enough, we would play like the Korn CD.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
While all the violence was going on.
Uh huh.
And like, just giving me that now, like the hairs on my arm are standing up explaining that. Like, and I kind of want to go hide in the other room.
Well, the funny thing is, we thought about doing this episode with someone else, and I won't say his name.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone else who's been on the show before who likes this song. But like, normally has a very like good taste in music, but likes the song and wouldn't do an episode with us on the song because he like didn't want to be outed for liking this song.
I will tell you, I did not like. I remember making fun of this album back then, though. I will defend myself in that, but I remember it not being good. But I did like the first two Korn albums.
Okay, that's fair.
But now I couldn't even think about putting them on.
Right. The question I have for you, Scott, is that. Do you have a YouTube channel where we can check out these sweet, sweet backyard wrestling moves?
Not yet.
I really hope you do.
Look forward to that in 2018, I find the videotapes.
Excellent, and you could just like
convert
pop
them
online.
If I had the tapes, I probably would put them online, though. Just because
they're hilarious. They're
probably
hilarious.
Can I force us into the first verse here?
Sure.
Which one of you two wants to do this honor?
Well, Scott's a guest.
Scott, you are the guest.
So what does that mean? I get to read it?
Get to read
first verse.
Oh, okay. All right. So, hate something, sometime, some way, something kicks off the for me? That's what I have here.
Or something kick on the front door.
Front floor is what I have.
That's three different versions of the same song. Maybe he's just so indistinguishable that it's just like, eh.
Do you think he knows at this point?
No.
Like, seriously.
Something inside I'll never ever follow. So give me something that is for real. I'll never ever follow. And then it's what really throws this song into gets it going is get your boogie on. That's when you get the chills, you know. That's when it comes.
You really, seriously.
That's when you get the chills.
Can you do me a favor and hit up that next stanza also?
Oh, sure.
Because that is likewise delightful.
Hate something some way each day. dealing with no forgiveness. Why? The shit inside, now everyone will follow. So give me nothing, just feel. And now this shit will follow. Two shits, yeah. Three lines.
Uh-huh.
Two shits, three lines.
He's a writer, man. He's a writer. I think James Joyce did the same thing, honestly.
How dare you? I know I talked about Samuel Beckett last week. I apologize.
You ever read Finnegan's Wake? There's
Joyce, Poe, Jonathan Davis.
Alternate line here was hate something some way each day feeling ripped off again.
My question is, does it make a difference?
I can't even remember what line Scott read at this point.
He just read it. He doesn't remember.
I have no idea. Again, I don't know the lyrics to my favorite song.
Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, like a Coheed song. Forget it. I don't even know. Or some kind of robot or science.
If I were reading that in non-comic book form, I would have no idea whether Good Eye Sniper. Like, I don't know. Sure, great.
Exactly. Neuros. But yeah, I don't know, man. Hate something. Why are they so angry?
Because they got the life, man.
But they don't know if they want that life. That's why they're angry.
Know.
Is that?
Tough. I think.
But
so.
Here's the thing: they must have preemptively known this was going to be a hit because they recorded it in studio.
This is essentially a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is.
Right here.
It is. It's deep. Yeah. It's deep.
Surely.
This is a bunch of guys who are getting rich, who are big babies.
I would love to have had been in that recording studio when they're all sitting around with their little like notepads and, and saying like, "Kick on the front floor." Write it down.
Nailed it.
I got this sweet groove. You know that they were apprehensive about recording this song because it had like a disco dance beat behind it, and it took until they got like midway through recording it before they were like, "Yeah, okay, we can go with this."
Would you call this a disco dance groove?
If you were listening to just the drums,
okay,
like yes, it is a very like poppy, dancey beat going on.
That has to fit with Get Your Boogie On.
It does have to fit with Get Your Boogie On.
I want to be the guy that had to lay that line down.
I want to be the guy that said, like, Jonathan, I've got it. Write it down. Get your boogie on.
Twice.
Yeah. Get your boogie. Absolutely. Repeat that.
I'm just trying so hard to figure out what he's talking about in these specific lines. Like, obviously I know what the song is about. It's not that hard to decode, but the lines themselves just make no sense.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, what do you write that sounds angry?
I mean, give me something that is for real. Like, that's the only one that makes sense. But I'll never follow. Never follow what? Like, that's not established at all.
Hate, comma, something, comma, sometime, comma, some way, comma, something, kick on the front floor, mine? It has a question mark next to
mine?
That's not a question. That does not have a subject or a predicate.
Is he asking if the hate of some kind belongs to him? And is it the hate he'll never follow?
Something
I don't
inside.
Know.
I also find like the music video, like them driving the Ferraris and stuff, it's supposed to be like ironic and them making fun of that, but I really feel like that's what they are.
Right.
Like, yeah. I feel like that is them.
Yeah.
And they're not, they're like almost being like double ironic because that really is them, but they're trying to poke fun at people who are like that.
Like, seriously.
They're
like
trying
that.
To satirize.
That's the word I was looking for.
What, like fame culture? But they're failing. They're just failing 100%. At it miserably.
And then you know, like, once they hit this level of success, they were in that goddamn silver Adidas
jumpsuit
all the time.
Yeah.
That green mink coat was just, like, a staple of, like, their day-to-day life.
Like, if you're blowing up a Ferrari in your video, you're not rejecting, like, the
I love that,
riches
like,
of, you know, fame.
Like, moments before they give the keys to some, like, hoopty, I don't know what kind of car it is, to, like, a bum. They're like, we don't need this fame. Here you go, bum. You can have this car. Now we're going to blow up that Ferrari.
It just seems like you're just a bunch of frivolous.
I'm going to go drink a beer out of a red Solo cup with Fred Durst, y'all. And they probably said y'all because that was the thing nu metal did.
That's true.
Yeah, and it's always cool to get, like, you know, token black guy to come and say, get your boogie on once or twice. And then,
right.
You know, that gives you a little street cred in that age.
Absolutely.
That's why Method Man was on, like, Fred Durst's album.
Yeah.
You know, like, It's that rap rock era.
Sure, right. Absolutely.
It's gross.
Just think, Spurs has great bands like Papa Roach and P.O.D. and
oh man, P.O.D. I think P.O.D. was one of the songs that we contemplated doing. Was like South.
Instead of taking the test, I took two to the chest.
We are the youth of the nation.
I think I blocked out all of this music. It's like coming back to me now, and I won't thank either of you for it.
That's all right. Listen to it tonight before bed.
Exactly. I've set up a playlist, Katie. So this video was directed by Mick G., who is famous for directing the Charlie's Angels movies.
Okay.
And so I do think that this video could fit seamlessly into scenes from Charlie's Angels.
Oh, yeah, like if Jonathan Davis was the villain or like his crew.
If he was the villain, like Lucy Liu could drive that Ferrari right into, I don't know, who else is that? Bill Murray?
Well, the Ferrari, when it goes over the edge and blows up, is empty. So if just before that you had a shot of Lucy Liu, like,
kicking out of the Ferrari.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's empty when it goes off the edge, and that's fine, whatever. Yeah. David and so, okay, I'm sidetracking here for a moment. The band members are Fieldy, Monkey, Head, Jonathan, and David. But anyway, so David and I believe Monkey are watching the Ferrari go off that cliff under some bridge. Mm-hmm. And the next shot, there's like a split second where the car's just sitting there, and then you can clearly see like just a detonation go off.
Yeah.
And so, like, this thing is not exploding upon impact.
No, it is, like, fully stopped and then just explodes.
Which means that Monkey and David obtained some, like, C4 or explosive somewhere and said, not only are we going to crash this car, but we're going to blow it the hell up. We're going to, like, just destroy the hell out of this.
The real thing is, if your name is Monkey or Head, you should be in the exploding car. Because,
agreed.
Just end it.
Unless you are an actual monkey or a sentient head.
Now, if the band play with an actual monkey, I'm in. I'm all in.
Oh, I would see Korn live.
A monkey would definitely improve whatever's going on with this band.
I'd be in.
Then they wouldn't be Korn. They would just be Monkey Band. They would have an actual monkey and a guy named Monkey. And I think, like, they sell out Madison Square Garden.
Absolutely.
Hands down. Whether or not they're any good. Which they're not.
Yeah.
But they would.
I feel like a monkey could play drums. Or do
this bass part. This monkey could say,
or equals to Fieldy.
No offense to our drum playing friends out there.
We're much better than whatever monkey is
you
playing
guys are
for
all
currently.
Than a
yeah, sure. Katie, are you reading the next verse?
Oh, I really don't want to read any of this.
Shit. I don't give a shit. Just read it.
All right.
That was aggressive, and I apologize.
You came in
Our
hot.
Marriage is stronger than that.
You came in hot.
Korn can't divide us.
Oh, that's true. Oh, my gosh. This is the worst part to have to read. I'm going to do it. I'm holding this out of my face. Okay.
You're waggling your fingers around.
So uncomfortable.
Do it.
Each
Get
day.
Get your boogie on, Katie.
Well, be quiet. I'm ready now.
Get in your corn spot and do it.
Oh, I'm so uncomfortable.
This touches me right in the corn spot.
Yeah.
Each day, I can feel it swallow inside something they took from me. Oh. I don't feel your deathly ways. Each day, I feel so hollow inside. I was beating me. You will never see. So come dance with me. Dance with me.
Oh, and then the best part of the song.
This part I want to read. Rum biddy boo, rum bum dee dum dee bum diddy do me. Rum biddy boo, rum biddy dum, rum biddy boo, rum
bum dee dum dee bum biddy boo, rum biddy boo. So can I just throw out there that despite the obvious errors in the Google Play Music lyrics, they are the exact same as the AZ lyrics when it comes to that
everyone
part.
Everyone can agree.
So no matter which lyrics you're reading online, it will say rum biddy boo, rum bum dee dum dee bum diddy do.
And then the Google lyrics say lie, which doesn't make any sense
that's
at all.
Well, lie.
What does it matter if it makes sense?
And
at
then
this
here
point?
It says me. That also doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And you think they got to that point, and they're just like, you know, it'd be really good here.
This is a Jonathan
Some of
Davis.
Your patented rum diddy bum bums. Come on, brother, lay it down.
That's what they know Korn for.
Well,
we know the rum biddy bums.
I have questions about the lines before this, but here we are. So we'll talk about this. How? I've never written a song. I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
How does a group of musicians come to the decision that writing down rumbity bum is a great idea? Like, how?
Well, Twist, remember Twist?
Twist was Twist all was nonsense. Boom. It was all just
that. It was all that stuff.
And then Freak on a Leash, he goes like, which I think is the actual lyric. Don't spit beer on my microphone.
Kind of like
please.
A Beavis. It sounds like Beavis. <you know? laughs>
That's essentially what it is. I want to sidetrack for a moment because I just noticed Katie is drawing little hearts on the margins of her notes.
I love you guys. I think you're great.
I just thought you were going to write KW Heart Corn.
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
But who is he talking to?
Society, who the hell knows?
Right, so I mean, here, do you guys want to hear my questions? Because maybe you can answer them. So my questions pertain to those first, like, three lines that I read. And I'm just curious, like, what is inside of him that can swallow? And how is it possible that they, whoever they are, took it away from him if it's something that's inside of him that he can feel right now?
Well, maybe they went inside him and were eating him from the inside. I think
hollowed him out.
Is this about like an alien abduction now?
Like, or just some like very, very hungry carpenter ants.
Okay.
Tapeworm.
The song's about a tapeworm. Yep. We were wrong about is that what the it is? Same all business.
Tapeworm that crawls through intestines, goes rum.
And that's tapeworm sound.
Slithers through your intestines.
That's like, you know that, like, when you're teaching a child, like, all right, a dog says woof and a cat says me.
And
a tapeworm. Anybody out there is listening with small children, and if you need to teach them what a tapeworm sounds like, just pop on Follow the Leader by Korn.
I think we've cracked the case.
We've done it. We've solved this riddle.
But then in the next line, he becomes the thing that's inside of him.
Oh, well, enough tapeworms will
eventually take over their host.
Or this is like a really deep philosophical existential crisis of some kind.
I think that's probably the case. It. Yeah. Everybody loves Jay Davis musings. You know, he's right up there with, you know, some of the great thinkers of our time. Nietzsche.
How dare you? We can't.
Aristotle. Absolutely. Yeah. Davis. 100%.
Your dog is currently making rum diddy dum dum.
He is definitely. He's just got gas. You're just here. He wants you to.
You're like getting him to growl into the microphone.
He wants you to want that toy super badly. Copper, what is that? Well, that was you.
No, he doesn't. He's like, I'm not a monkey.
He doesn't
perform on command.
Blech.
But you see that, right? He says, each day I feel so hollow. Inside, I was beating me.
Yeah.
Like, something else was inside of him one line ago. Now he's inside of him beating himself. That sounds rude. I don't know.
That's his corn spot.
That's it.
I think tapeworm feeding on his corn spot, we've learned.
Precisely.
That's perfect.
Let me talk about some of the other douchebag members of this douchebag band real quick, if I could.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I was reading an interview with the guitar player, Head, the one who quit the band when he found Jesus and
so
decided...
So Head is the born-again Christian?
Yes.
Okay.
Who has since rejoined the band.
Oh.
But he was, you know what, he actually attributes it to, like, getting over addiction, to, like, helping him get over addiction, and he needed that because evidently at the height of Korn's fame, like, they were all on tons of drugs.
No.
Never.
Shocking. I know.
Really
pick
surprised.
Your jaw up off the
but,
floor.
But, you know, like, congratulations to him. That's
yeah.
That's a
sure.
huge struggle to overcome.
Yeah. And he did it good for him. He did what he needed to do to get healthy. But he said in this interview, and this was relatively recent, I want to say within the past 5 years, he said, quote, Korn stuff is not real technical. It's just the pedals. The pedals are the main thing. Which, no duh.
Yes.
The pedals and the not playing notes on the bass guitar.
And the drum machines.
The drum machines, the rumbitty boos, those are all, you know, just...
I mean, the lyrics certainly aren't real technical, so...
No.
I can't imagine.
What are you talking about? What if that, like, rumbitty bing bum bum part is like a code? Like a code that we have to flip around and say something really...
When cool. I was in, like, high school, I had a couple of friends that were, like, super into Korn. And they really, like, related to Korn's lyrics because they're also generally about mm-hmm. pain.
Right.
It's really angst. Like, yeah, absolutely. It's just so generic. And as a teenager, like, absolutely, you're going to, like, latch on to that.
You're going to listen to the album. You're going to go to the mall. You're going to go to Hot Topic.
Yeah, man.
Sweet new Korn totally. Shirt.
You're going to get a black t-shirt, some yep. Jenkos, a chain wallet. You're going
to dark stars, put them on your ceiling. And
you sound like a man who has been to Hot Topic.
This is yeah, a yeah.
Don't act like you're above it.
Oh, I'm definitely not. But I was more of like a punk rock Hot Topic than a goth hot rock. Yeah,
so. I was pretty punk rock my whole so. Childhood. But
Brad was pretty punk rock in high school with his sweater vest.
I was not at all shirts. Actually punk rock. There were a couple of punk rock bands that I liked. And I think mm-hmm. that's about I hung out with a lot of kids who were into the punk rock ska scene.
Yep.
Yeah, I had the dumb patches on my shorts.
Sure,
like
absolutely.
Less than Jake Patch.
Oh, nice. No effects, just sewn right onto your book bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, the Jan Sports with the patches.
And whatever local ska band you could get a sticker of.
Skank and Pickle.
Thanks a lot, Dillinger's.
Guys, this is so 90s.
This is so very 90s. Oh,
I'm
were you
more embarrassed by Korn than,
absolutely.
Than any ska or punk ever?
Korn sure. is not the most embarrassing band of this era.
No.
Like,
no.
Like, I think Limp Bizkit is the obvious worse. Choice. But
right.
that is such low-hanging fruit that I almost feel like guilty attacking
early on,
them.
We decided we probably would never do Limp Bizkit.
Right, yeah.
Just because...
It's too easy.
Like, Limp Bizkit and Nickelback are
yeah,
just, like,
seriously.
Too easy to even go there.
So you should go the opposite for Nickelback. You should try to defend a Nickelback. So
that's not a bad idea,
find
actually.
One that you, like, go through their catalog, and you each have to pick one without telling each
that's
other
funny.
Which one you have picked.
That's a great idea.
And why?
We should
well,
we should
if we
try
ever
to
do that, we'll have
reschedule
to
you.
I'll come back
idea.
On
we'll
for the Nickelback show. All right.
All
maybe
right.
I'll moderate it, the two
I think,
of you.
Are you writing that note down, Katie? Please do. That would be great if you would be like the judge.
who sold it?
Why better? Is yeah. photograph better yeah. than...
okay, I've made a note.
Opening statements, evidence, and then closing arguments.
Okay.
So we're talking about...
Korn.
Well, yeah. Fieldy, specifically, the bass player, quote-unquote bass player.
He had goggles on, too, by the way. Goggles are really big sunglasses.
Yeah. No shit he did.
Why would it?
But in just about every 90s video, like we've discovered this recently, whether it's a boy band or
a, like a
rock band or whatever.
Steal
this
My
is,
Sunshine?
Somebody's
goggles.
Wearing goggles, either over their eyes or on their head. Even if you think about, do you remember the movie? I'm not going to remember what the movie's called now.
She's All That?
No.
Can't with, Hardly with, Wait?
Yes, Can't Hardly
Nailed
Wait.
Nailed it.
You're so good. With Seth Green.
It's pretty
Green.
Cool you guys high fives over Can't Hardly Wait.
We have a lot of like elaborate...
Seth Green has goggles on his head
yeah.
that whole movie.
Absolutely. The only time goggles are advantageous is when you are either like snowboarding or
wood shop.
That's
or in a shop, yeah.
If you're looking around a lot of live sparks.
When you buy a lathe.
If you're in chemistry class...
Maybe he was just a craftsman, Fieldy, and he didn't want to...
That's you know, definitely what it was. Yeah,
maybe he made his own bass.
I like, get a real craftsman
a
vibe
actually.
From him,
yeah,
to be
too.
Honest.
I
yeah.
Do too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Fieldy, he's in a side project called Fieldy's Dream, which is his...
Boo!
Douche
chill.
Guys, you haven't even listened to them! And their first album was called Rock and Roll Gangsta.
Of course.
Of course. That's his
worst.
That's his rap project. Second album is in the works, and from what I could find, it said it was originally intended as a hardcore rap album, but then they've recently scrapped it and changed it to jazz fusion.
What?
Who wants to hear
is
this?
Is he playing bass in his album?
God, I hope so.
Or singing?
No, I hope he's like just hitting up the drums. His buddy Rich, like just all right, we're doing this one in 5/4, guys. Just follow me. We're going to be in it. Head and Monkey, two of the other band members, as we've mentioned, were listed in Guitar World magazine as number 26 greatest heavy metal guitarists
Ooh,
of all time.
Boo.
Wow.
And that's evidently from letting the pedals do their the pedals
do their
being
magic,
the main thing.
It's
yeah,
not
seriously.
That technical.
Jonathan Davis collects serial killer memorabilia.
Somehow that's not at all surprising.
And somehow that's not the weirdest thing about him.
Fair.
Yeah. Serial killer stuff is like very. Ever noticed like serial killer stuff is way too available? Like so many books and Netflix series.
Well, I think that's why people get into serial killing in the first place.
So available.
Are you trying to say like if kids become violent because of music like Korn, guys in Korn could become violent from serial killer?
Or at the very least, like cash in on that.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess so.
Oh, man. So I was looking at the producers of this album. So first of all, a cool thing about this album is that all the album artwork was done by Todd McFarlane.
Okay.
Who, are you familiar with him?
Yeah, yeah. Figures and comics.
Katie, I have no idea who he is.
He created the character Spawn, and he was a big book artist back in the day. In fact, he still draws. He's still an artist, and he still creates like action figures that are like pretty high dollar items. Yeah, so he did the artwork. He did the animation also for the video for Freak on a Leash, because there's like an animated part on that, which is also pretty cool. I mean, the artwork looks neat and scary, which is what's intended.
Can I ask, did their album named Korn have like a picture of someone sitting on a seesaw or something?
No, I think it was just like the logo. Their self-titled first album.
I have like an image in my mind of something.
You might be thinking of the girl playing hopscotch off the cliff.
Oh, maybe that is what it was like.
That's this album.
Oh, that's this album. Okay.
Or the girl on the swing.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. With Korn
in the that's so creepy. Like, please,
Copper loves it.
Stay away from children. please.
But what I really want to talk about with this one is the producers, these guys, Steve Thompson and Toby Wright, because their resumes are insane. Steve Thompson worked as an engineer on Appetite for Destruction.
All right.
Like one of the biggest rock albums of all time right there. He's worked with Madonna, John Lennon, the Wu-Tang Clan. He's won Grammys for his work with Aretha Franklin and George Michael.
Huh.
Whitney Houston on I Want to Dance with Somebody. Blues Traveler, Runaround. And then he won a Grammy with Korn.
So significant resume.
That is ridiculous.
Why
to me.
Did Korn like, win a Grammy?
Well, it was for their video for Freak on a Leash.
Okay.
So it was not because this song was so great and spoke to those who judged for the Grammys. So then the other guy, Toby Wright, has a much more appropriate resume for this band. He's worked with Alice in Chains. This is just a sampling of who he's worked with.
Okay.
Alice in Chains, Metallica, Kiss, Ozzy Osbourne, Primus, Slayer, Third Eye Blind, oddly
That's
enough,
random.
Which I wrote down as Third Eye Bling because... and also Three, who we were talking about before. Like he worked on The End Has Begun, which is a great album. Like haunting.
Three is cool.
Three is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big metal person, but they are a band that I just love everything they do. I'm just like constantly mesmerized by what they do. But we're not here to talk about them.
No, because they're great.
They are great,
But they didn't go 5 times platinum.
They did not go 5 times platinum. In fact, you could still see them at like Maxwell's in Hoboken. Yeah, exactly. So, so those are the facts about the producers I have here.
Well, I mean, in Korn's defense here, they were like the band of this era. So for these producers, you know, like this is, it makes sense.
They're striking while the iron's hot.
You know, like
if you ever start a goddamn sentence with the phrase in Korn's defense,
it's going in my act.
Please do. Please start up a joke with in Korn's defense, and then just wait for the laughter.
That's like the whole joke.
Head has a charity called Head's Homes where he builds homes in impoverished areas of India.
All right.
Oh, that's very nice.
So
nice.
way to use your money to create some good in the world.
Maybe that's a way that he learned to live with the life now that he's got
now
the
that
life.
He's got it.
He's got it.
Absolutely.
Okay, he brought that around.
So, I don't know. Katie,
my only other question about the song is, what is with the dancing stuff? Like, he says, you will never see, so come dance with me. Obviously, get your boogie on over and over again. Where does the art of dance
Like, who on earth has ever danced to a Korn song?
Just the the guy in the video.
Just the guy who was listening to just the drum beat. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Somewhere out there, somebody's wedding song is this.
isn't that crazy to imagine?
In this country, this is someone's wedding
song. Like, seriously, that's a wild thing to imagine. Every once in a while, I hear a shitty song, and I'll be like, I can't believe, like, somewhere, just somebody is, like, blasting this MP3.
The bride with her, like, dyed black hair and her black, like, gothic dress. Mm-hmm. And the
it looks like she's been crying. The eyeliner's been, like, painted down her cheeks.
With, like, the same creepy little mustache as Mr. Davis.
Jonathan Davis selectively shaved away the Hitler part of the mustache.
He shaved the middle of Hitler.
He did a reverse Hitler. A negative Hitler. Negative face Hitler.
If you had like a photo negative of just Hitler's mustache, it would be Jonathan Davis's lip.
Yeah, I mean, Hitler's ruined that. Like, no one could ever wear that.
No, I mean, no. Good for Chaplin.
It could have been the Charlie Chaplin mustache.
Could have been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the dance stuff, I don't know. I got to assume that stems from the disco beat they were talking about.
Maybe.
But
or just, like, appealing to, like, that rap rock. That's, like, the hip-hop part of the song. Like,
sure.
Like, the dance. Like, yo, get
I
your
think
booty
it
up.
Hardly... Like, I think they were trying to make it appeal to the hip hop, but they just failed miserably at that.
Well, isn't that the whole genre? They
yeah,
just failed.
Basically, yeah. Absolutely. Give me stuff to break. Anything by Power Man 5000. Who knows?
If you wanted the lyrics to make some kind of like literary sense, which I don't, but I'll do this anyway. He Please says, do. "You will never see, so come dance with me." It could be argued that he's saying, like, you'll never get it. You'll never understand me anyway. So, like, it's all frivolous. Who cares? Like, let's just dance instead of trying to figure it out. But, I mean, that was a real stretch for me just now.
You went deep. Your eyes rolled back in your head for a second there. Like,
swear to God,
Bram from Game of Thrones, you were seeing something else.
If you ever come to Korn's defense again, Katie, I swear to God, like, I will.
Just in Korn's defense.
In Korn's defense.
In defense
never.
Of Korn.
I feel like...
Only if you're doing stand-up, Katie. That is the only time you can use that line.
I just, like, really found the Korn spot.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Find the Korn spot in your heart.
Yeah.
Voice.
Let it
yeah. noise.
Yeah.
Katie, the assignment here is write a song...
No,
right,
I hate
right
it.
Verse.
It's an F, 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 F. I hate it. I don't care what the rubric says. I don't care. Like, it's
if somebody submitted this to you in a poetry unit, F.
We would have to have, like, a little talk. We just would have to have, like, when you put it in the context of my actual students, I can never be that mean. We'd have to have, like, a one-on-one writing conference where we talked about, like, what are you trying to communicate here? And maybe let's make some major changes. What are some other ways we could communicate your thoughts and feelings?
So, windows down in the car, volume jacked up, make eye contact with the person at the stoplight with you?
Not even ironically.
Not at all. No, absolutely. Get this song the hell off of my, or out of my ears.
Yeah. What about you, Scott? Would you listen to it if it came on? Turn the volume up?
Only the rumbity boo part. That's the only part.
Rumbity boo. I'm gonna go with no. Listen, there's some songs that are like, you know, they're crappy, but if they're on in like a group setting or at a party or a barbecue, you're like, okay, this song's terrible, but it's fun to sing along to. This has no fun factor to it. It doesn't. I don't know. There's no.
It's not bad enough to be any good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's just really bad. Like, yeah. It's not fun. The lyrics aren't even like. Considering Google can't get the lyrics right. Like, they're not very sing-alongable to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go no.
I would
unless I was wearing a fur coat.
Like to say rum-bitty-boo. Just like
all the
time.
The real shame of this song is that's going to be stuck in your head for the next week.
That's just so, that. Because the rest of the lyrics I don't care about.
So, all right. Well, I guess that's going to be all we got for this song. Scott, can you please do us a favor and tell us where people can find you, where you're going to be performing next?
Sure. So let's see. So the real thing is go check out Verbal Shenanigans podcast. It's pretty easy to find on all those platforms, you know, Stitcher and iTunes and all that. You're not, just Google it, Verbal Shenanigans. I think this week we should be having Zane Lamprey coming on from, if you've ever watched Chug or you've ever watched a lot of beer shows and whatnot, but should have him coming on, and then in 2 weeks we should have Matt Pinfield coming on.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So
discuss Korn with him.
Yeah, some things to look forward to, but that is the main thing. If you want to come see me, a good spot is to come out to Tap House 15 in Jefferson. I run a monthly show there. It is absolutely free. It's always always got a national headliner on it, and only comics that I enjoy. So it's always a good night. We always attach a charity to it. But other than that, check out the podcast. But
Cool. We're excited that we were able to have you on, and that you can like promote your stuff through us. Brad has just run off and left me to close things off myself, and I have to remember all of our social media. So, as always, you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. If you have any song suggestions or ideas, you can email us at decompositionpod@gmail.com. And thanks for listening, and chill till the next episode.